If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the One Life. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our seminar topic is Mastering Your Energy and State of Consciousness. So here we are, moving into that much awaited, expected, feared, debated, and discussed December 21st, 2012. Whoop-dee-doo. 2 days, right? Which means that we're already in that energy, already flowing. But what is that energy? It's a thought form that men, be they Mayan or whatever, caught in the web of time, have made something out of. It's an interpretation that has been accorded a meaning, which when you strip it down to its very quintessential essence, is an interpretation. It is something conjured by the limited mind. Everything conjured by the mind is trapped in the net of time. For the perception of time, space, separation, and differentiation comes only with that portion of the mind that interprets everything through the veil of separation. So what's really happening? What's really happening is energy and consciousness. In truth, that is all that's ever happening. And we can be aware of our own energy and our own consciousness, for that actually is the interpretive lens through which we see a world of our own making, of our own interpretation, caught within the web of our own time net. So let's look at these things from a more enlightened point of view. Let's take them down to the very quintessential owning of the responsibility for the world we're choosing to generate out of our own choice and direction, or not, of our own energy and our own state of consciousness. We literally are the embodiment at any given moment of our state of energy and consciousness. So let's begin with a meditation. And before we move into it, let's just take a mosey over our own personal field and ask yourself, what state of consciousness am I in right now? Let's just do an energy and consciousness assessment for ourselves. Where do you sense the greatest concentration of energy? Is it in your physical body? Are you in a high, low, or average state of energy in your physical body? Just note where your energy is right now. And now let's move ourselves into a state of attunement with that which is the conscious state that we have as an operative that we could, if we wished, if we could relinquish our attachment to time-space differentiation, we could just give ourselves some wiggle room to consider that we're beyond that and much more than that. If we could do that, we could know that we are existence, awareness, and bliss. So let's take a deep breath. And write that down as a knowing and as a statement of your beingness. I am existence, awareness, bliss. That I am. I am existence, awareness, bliss. Just allow yourself to source that energy and that state of consciousness. And allow your highest aspects and principles to wed that energy with your conscious mind, with your emotional and imaginative bodies, with your thinking mechanism, and with your divine knowing, which would be that existence, awareness, bliss. That is alone the state that is always that which is, that cannot be changed, because it is truth with a capital T. Existence, awareness, bliss. Or in Sanskrit, Sat, Chit, Ananda. And just allow that energy to wash through and baptize every cell, every quark, every particle and subatomic particle of your being. Allow it to wash through your nervous system, clearing all blocks, clearing anything in your heart, in your mind, in your not your energy field that would not be flowing with that higher state of being. Take a deep breath and consciously let it go and let it release. Let it dissolve into the love that is. You'll notice as you work with yourself in states of awakening, within states of consciousness and energy, that whenever there is a misalignment, the simple recognition of that misalignment and the choosing to release it without judgment is all that ever needs to be done. You don't need to process it, understand it, make sense of it, categorize it, or do anything with it at all. You simply let it go. It is only your attachment that causes you to get stuck. Let go. Let life flow through you. Let yourself be lived by that which is greater. You know, struggle is absolutely not necessary. Whenever you find yourself in strife, stress, and struggle, it means that you're resisting whatever is taking place. So you simply need to locate the place of ease, grace, and flow in your life. Right now, see if you can find the place of ease, grace, and flow in your life. That's where you're correctly aligned with your own mastery, your own state of existence, awareness, and bliss. So if you move to where the energy is flowing inwardly and outwardly, and you learn to discern and locate the flow of the energy that you're sensing that is in alignment with your soul and your higher nature, and you direct your speech or your movement in time and space in harmonic resonance with that flow of energy, which is always present here and now. You can't pre-think how you're going to flow with this. The minute you pre-think anything, you have judged it and constricted it into time. Whenever you are flowing in time, you are in Maya. You're in the state of change and impermanence. And that which is sat, truth or existence itself, is eternal. It's not subject to time or diminution or limitation. So it's opening yourself to that which transcends those blocks and those limitations that keep you living small and confined and constricted. You want to expand. Expansion is bliss. Constriction is hell. Choose bliss. Choose the point of release wherever you find it in your life. Because that is the way of grace, which is always a divine gifting of liberation. It is the meaning of the statement, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? That the grace of God is all sufficient. Grace is ever flowing. It's like the rain. It falls on the just and the unjust. But only those who are receptive and have an open chalice receive of it. It will flow around and over those that are closed. It's still raining upon them, but they have no receptivity to receive it. So be an open chalice and allow that divine grace to flow you through life. That's what it means to be spirit-led and spirit-filled and spirit-indwelt and spirit-lived. So that the spirit of that which is the spirit of all life, of all creativity, of all intelligence, of all magnificence, the source of all sources, can source through you as a living tributary of blessedness. So that wherever you're positioned and parked in time and space, you walk as a Christed one, as an ascending state of mastery. Because all of consciousness and truth is continually ascending in mastery. And mastery requires the conscious directing of your energy and your state of consciousness, the proactive participation in ongoing divinity. So mastery is always ascending to that which is next. It's always transcending where you are to that which is beckoning as the point of flow in your life. And it's always a virginal flow because you can't control it. You can't mood make it. You can't pre-plan it. And you can, at best, flow with it and consciously direct yourself into it. But you of yourself do not control it. So again, where is your energy the most focused right now? Be aware that you're not your body. Your body, in reality, is only a point of familiar identification. You keep familiarizing yourself with what you see in the mirror and never question the fact that it's only an aggregate of familiar energy and consciousness association and identification. It's the field of familiarity. Now, let's check your emotions, your emotion, that which impels your manifestations. Are you calm and centered? Or are you upset and out of balance in any way? Like all things, everything in your life is something your mind has made up and decided to identify with. That's a hard knowing, isn't it? That whether or not you are consciously aware of this fact, you alone are responsible for your state of consciousness and the energy you are hosting at any given moment. In truth, we but react to our own interpretations, not to anything at all as what it is. If we could realize that we're seeing, as we move through our life, forms that are given only the meaning, significance that our mind has accorded it, that we're only walking amidst our own interpretations, if we could be aware of that and just be the witness of it without the judge, without having to control or do anything with it, you're not trying to change it or do anything, you're just observing it. If you could do that, you would walk in the state of a Jivanmukta, a soul that is freed, though still living in the human state and form. Maybe not the human state, but living in the transcendental or self-realized state while inhabiting or seemingly inhabiting this human enchilada in time and space. So you have personally conditioned the energy that you've been hosting and participating with through countless immersions in time and space continuum. So everything that you see around you as form is simply an aggregate of solidified energy. And that energy has been attracted and precipitated in form by your choice of focus and intention. So you quite literally are the world you see. So absolutely everything that you see manifested in physical form, or for that matter, as form on any level or dimension, is the manifestation of the focus and intention of consciousness. That's why you see from that point of interpretation in the center of your skull, that point of awareness. And that awareness is either occluded and veiled by the separative ego mind, or it is functioning as the agency of the buddhi, or the intelligence principle itself of the soul. So only the lens in front of that, let's say, inner vision, that inner eye, that third eye, if you will, only the lens that you've placed in front of it determines what you see and how you see. And with meditation and these seminars that are constantly challenging you to look at yourself and your life and to move your spiritual inner awareness into the enlightened state, as you keep practicing these keys of consciousness, you find that that which was the illusion, that is the separative ego's interpretation, that it simply dissolves into the brilliant light of citta, buddhi, intuitive awareness, knowing, the inner observer, whatever you want to call it. So if you consider there are approximately 7 whatever billion people on the planet, that means we have at least that many, at least 7 billion versions of the world being lived out right now. So the only important thing is the state of your world, which gives rise to your own inner universes. Do you realize that each of your subtle bodies, your physical body, astral body, causal body, mental body, etheric body, embodies a universe of its own population, its own inhabitation? You have people that have populated it with your own interpretations, beliefs, thought forms, and projections from this and a myriad of embodiments in time-space continuums on this and many planetary worlds. So it's only when you have mastered your own inner universes through soul transcendence that you have begun to appear into that transcendental God realm that is a universe outside of your own making. And these are the states of God realization. Most people are somewhere in the process of moving through their own inner creations. And we have to always start with where we are. So unless you're in a state like Satya Sai Baba, where you're in full God consciousness, you probably need to listen to things like this seminar. You wouldn't be listening to it if you didn't need it. You wouldn't be drawn to listening or participating at this level unless it was required. So let's take another look at yourself and just consciously register your state of consciousness. Look at your emotions. What are you feeling? And is that particular state serving you in any way right now or not? And again, just be aware of what's there without judging, just looking and dismissing it, letting it go. If there's any unbalance, forgive yourself for forgetting that you are divine and just breathe it out into the love that is and let it dissolve. Now observe your mind. Are you simply aware, centered, and present? Or do you find yourself somewhat distracted, worried, concerned, or upset in some way? Just be aware of your mind and the thoughts that you are preoccupied with, that are flowing through your mental atmosphere at this time. Just observe without judging. You are not your mind. Well, who are you then? If you're not your body, you're not your emotions and feelings, you're not your imaginations, you're not your thoughts, well, who are you then? The real you is the one who is looking, seeing, and observing. It's the one who just now was looking and observing where the flow of energy was in your physical body. Obviously, you're not your physical body if you can observe your physical body, right? How could you observe your emotions if you were your emotions? Or again, how could you be aware of your mind and your thoughts if you're not your mind and your thoughts? So that alone, if you think about it, if you choose to have tea with it, reveals to you the fact that you are something that's quite beyond the familiar energy aggregate that you have appropriated as your identity. You are, in fact, existence, awareness, and bliss. So that is the awareness of the divine self. That part of you that exists as the witness of your body, your emotions, your mind, and the things that go on in the world, populated and inhabited by the things that you have accorded meaning and become attached to seeing and have given an interpretation and accorded a meaning and significance solely of your own making. Now you as existence, awareness, and bliss could just stay in that state. And in fact, I believe that is what we are at this time meant to do, is to practice moving into that state and inhabiting it for longer and longer periods of time until that becomes the state from which we live and move and have our being on a very conscious level, so that we participate fully in life, but we're not attached, we're not trying to mood make and grasp and hold to ourselves states of familiar expectation, hopes, wishes, desires, and all the things that take you out of your own wholeness and fullness. It's a choice, like all things, isn't it? Yes, it's a choice. So, the thing of it is that only you can shift your own state because it's your own manifestation of creative intelligence. And no one has authority to mess with your conscious election and selection. It's called freedom of consciousness, which we are divinely endowed with. So that here in this biological testing zone that we call planet Earth, we can play in the labyrinth of mind and manifestation and learn to master the things that come up in our life through engaging in the polarized states and in the challenges of conscious self-election and conscious self-direction, and consciously shifting our state and seeing what happens as a result of that shift. We're always in the laboratory of our own life, creating situations in which we can research how we function, how we operate, and how we can transcend and move to greater levels of possibility and activate greater potentialities in our life. That's what this whole arena is for. So we're given the freedom to dwell in the world of our own making, of our own imagining, of our own interpretation. And we learn to also question that. Perhaps there's another way I could look at this that would allow for a greater expansion, a greater sense of freedom, a greater sense of love. Perhaps there's another way that I could image in my mind this situation so that I can have something that works for me here, something that allows a flow of love to occur, and something that allows gratitude to appear. Whenever love and gratitude are present, you have then ended cycle on an ego momentum. And every ego-based momentum is negative. It is the self-defeating, self-undermining, self-accusing part of the consciousness that is, in a sense, your own personal petty tyrant. You know, they say, you're your own worst enemy. Well, that would be applying only to the ego mind, which is, again, a small, tiny little, it's about the size of a peanut, a shell peanut in the back of your skull. And that little tiny glitch, let's say, in the magnificence of your immortal bliss has been running the show for far too long. And it's always got a grouse and a grudge and a complaint and a grievance. That's how you can identify it. It never has anything nice to say about anything, including you. So that's the part that we learn to see and recognize. You don't have to do anything with it, but recognize it and send it into the love of God. And be grateful that for the first time you recognized it and saw it acting and chose not to buy into and go along with it. That's where your gratitude comes in. The minute you see something, it means you have transcended to the level above it. You're no longer being subjected to it as a unconscious reactive pattern. That's why every time you have an insight into yourself, instead of judging and condemning yourself and feeling bad about yourself, stop that. Instead say, I've already transcended that level because I can suddenly see it so clearly. Wow, that's why I was feeling so rotten and so depressed. I was trying to make this thing over here work for me, and it was working against me, not for me. That's why you have to really look at things that cause you to beat your head against the wall again and again and again. And really ask yourself, is this really something that I'm being divinely directed to do? And of course the answer would be no. You'll never be divinely directed to do anything that's causing you stress and to beat your head against the wall. So, you don't need to beat yourself up on any level for your process of researching consciousness and energy and discerning what works for you and what doesn't. It's simply a research assignment. You're not being graded. You elected your curriculum. So enjoy it. Have fun with it. My gosh, this is so much fun when you don't take it personally. Don't take your life personally. It's the impersonal life that we're looking at here, not your personal interpretation. So our life is a perfect replica of our state of consciousness, our beliefs and habits of thinking, and the energy we are sourcing through us. All the spiritual path is learning to take conscious responsibility for our state of consciousness and our energy. Learning to take conscious responsibility for our state of consciousness and energy. That's the spiritual path. Taking conscious responsibility. Or you don't blame God, or the devil, or the world, or the Illuminati, or other people, or dimensional shifts, or whatever, whatever. You take responsibility for shifting your own state of consciousness. And that requires your conscious participation. It can't be done for you from without, because it always is an inner shift that has an outer manifestation. For example, let's say you're angry. Your choice is to just allow that anger to run its course through your consciousness and become so identified with it that you lose all conscious awareness and you literally become the energy and state of anger, or whatever the energy state is that you're allowing to take over. Or you can recognize at the very onset, at that first gripping sensation of negative reaction, that you are expressing from ego. That deluded lower state of mind. Now the minute you blow its cover and see it for what it is, then you can just kick back, chill, and not do anything. It's been done just by the recognition of what it is. You've managed it. You've transcended to awareness, from reaction to awareness. And that allows the light of your higher consciousness to dissolve that little fog bank that we call the delusional state of the ego mind. So when you're able to recognize what's going on in the midst of it, then you can make a conscious choice to shift your state of consciousness. But first, you need to become aware of it. Now, there's several ways. One is the minute you see that ego raising its gnarly little head, you could stop and go silent and immediately switch into observer mode. That means that the things that you were outwardly reacting to, you stop and you just watch it play out. And the egos and those around you won't have any fuel because they always depend upon controversy and adversarial positioning to aid and abet, you know, negative states. So if there's nobody to aid and abet and feed into a negative state, you'll see it begin to peter out and dwindle. You'll see the energy begin to just kind of go flat. You know, it's no fun to fight with yourself. And that's another way that you can handle it. It's to be kind of fun. And especially it's fun if you own it. You say, well, and people might say, well, you know, say something. It's like, well, I recognized I was getting caught up in a negative state of consciousness, and I just choose not to do that. You know, it's going to make them think, too. It'll be educational and instructive for them. Now, it's not exactly easy to do, okay? Especially if you've already gotten caught up in the energy of anger or whatever emotional reactive state you may be caught up in. It takes real exercising of self-mastery and self-management to stop in mid-rant and zip it. Just shut your mouth. It's very hard. So, again, don't fault yourself because you may fail for 10 times, but on that 11th time, you suddenly come conscious and that spiritual energy has been building all the time that you thought you were failing. It's been building up inside you until one day, you can stay totally, totally present. Watch the whole thing from a distance and not buy into it at all. And then you have another feather for your spiritual mastery cap. So it is quite possible to learn not to go into unconscious reaction, attack, and defense mode. And you also become aware that most people do go unconscious and become reactive simply by virtue of habitual habits. You know, the habits and the conditioning that's been built into their mind and their emotional body. So this is a path of self-mastery, which means that you have made a conscious commitment to work on yourself in this lifetime. And to step free through grace, to soul transcend, so that you don't keep recycling back in the lower grades. It's time to graduate. So you'll notice that some people that make a habit of trying to control the behavior and the outer manifestations in their life by the manipulative ploy of emotional stances. They will have a very hard-line approach that manifests often as irritation, frustration, being cross, angry, you know, any kind of state like that, which is a way that people say that they are not pleased with the way things are going in their immediate environment, and they want it to be a different way. So anger always reveals extreme resistance to that which is taking place. And thus the very first consciousness shift that comes when you find yourself in that kind of hardened stance is immediately shifting into the choosing of acceptance. Boy, you can feel that energy release just as I speak about it. Whatever you really resisted, if you could be conscious enough to choose to accept, just go soft inside and accept. What do you accept? That which is. That which is present. That which is going on. Just be present with it. That's accepting. Not resisting. Not fighting. Not arguing. Just present. And then you have the choice to direct yourself into your preferred state. And that's your own prerogative. There's many ways you can direct yourself into your preferred state. We all know them. So the master key to shift out of any lower state of energy and consciousness is gratitude. Where have we heard that before? You know, ego and gratitude cannot cohabit the same space of consciousness. So gratitude immediately neutralizes the negative ego states. So if you're angry, you can be grateful that you are aware this time, that you're aware that you feel anger starting to build inside you. But instead of, you know, giving that person a piece of your ego, you choose this time your reaction or your non-reaction. Your response would be proactive direction of your energy. And I think in the case of anger, since that always implies a negative state of unconsciousness, that silence is the best process. A person who is angry is incapable of consciousness. Realize that every reactive, negative state means nobody's home. That divine persona is back somewhere inside that consciousness, but it's not hearing you. It can't hear you. It is in reaction, which means it's unconscious. So it's absolutely pointless to try to argue your point with someone who's angry. So acceptance enables the realization that you alone are in control of your state of consciousness and for managing and directing your energy. And this, I think, is the most vital key to self-determination, which, again, is self-mastery. So this is advanced class for the big kids. You know, these are lessons that we learn in the final stage of self-realization. And we don't know where we are in that equation. We could have been great masters in the past that have tremendous accumulations built up within your chalice that only require a little bit of jiggling to begin to surface and out in your expression. Sometimes you need a real severe wake-up call that jolts that assemblage point of familiar association to where you have wiggle room to see things from a different angle. That's what happens when people have near-death experiences or experience extreme shock, trauma, or tragedy. Those are extreme last-ditch efforts of the soul to get the personality human's attention. And they're all self-orchestrated. We can pretend like we're victims, but no one is ever a victim. You, as an enlightened being, orchestrate whatever needs to take place to get the attention of your ego-enslaved personality in time and space. And the soul is not prissy about it. It will do whatever it has to do to get your attention, to wake you up so you don't miss this opportunity to graduate into the higher levels of consciousness and ongoing life. Our planet is moving, ready or not. It's shifting into the next dimensional octave of divine life unfolding. How silly to think that it's ending or it's going to be destroyed. I mean, that's such an oxymoron. If you stop to think about it, it's so moronic to think that way. How can you possibly think that way if you have any modicum whatsoever of intelligence? Nothing that is can be destroyed. It can only be transformed into a different state of energy and a different manifestation of consciousness. And that applies to everything, whether it's a planet or a person or an ant or an aphid. It's all the same, or an avatar. So awareness, beloveds, is the key. Being consciously aware and choosing what you would have as the state that you are inhabiting and presenting. So that whatever state we're in, as we move to the next dimensional level, will be the state that we have prepared for our own habitation. So you might say, well, where is God in all of that? God is the energy and the consciousness of the existence, awareness, and bliss that you truly are. Everything else is a story that you've made up, that your mind has bought into, that you have temporarily hung your hat on and said, that's me, that's mine. But you can change your mind. You can get over that fixation and limitation. You can choose again. You can choose a bazillion times if you want. There's never an end of opportunity that is given to try again, to choose again, to change your mind, and to adopt a different flow of energy and consciousness. So the only difference between you and any individual is in the kind of conditioning that your past chrysalis of experience has amassed around you as your aggregate of personalized energy. It's quite different for each people because we come through different historical periods, incarnations, lifetimes, experiences, and interpretations we've made about all of that. Different cultures, different belief systems and indoctrinations, different things that we have taken on as our own, which really weren't our own, but were the thoughts of someone else. You can always know what is yours and what is someone else's, because if it comes from someone else, you'll always have a doubt about it. You'll always have more questions. When it comes to you directly as an experience, you will have neither questions nor doubts. That's why I think the energy is really being pulled out of all of the groups where people are taught to follow a particular leader. I think that's very much of the old paradigm. Or you allow someone else and their experiences to lead you rather than cultivating your own awareness and experiences. I think the age of the popes and the gurus and all of that is finished. I know all great gurus will say, gee, you are you. You are the guru. You're the guru only for yourself. You can't be a guru for anyone else. You can only be a way shower. But you show the way by being the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you do that. You reveal the light by being the light, by radiating the light of your core essence, and manifesting the purity of that Sat Chit Ananda, that existence, awareness, bliss of your true soul. That's the only way you can make a difference anywhere in any way, is getting honest, one with yourself, knowing yourself, making your life work for you. It doesn't have to work for anyone else. You're here for no one else's reasons or purposes. You're here for you, to know you with a capital Y, the real you. And to learn to live in existence, awareness, and bliss all the time. To be absolutely centered, serene, and at peace all the time. That's what this learning arena is for, and nothing else. To embody the peace, the wisdom, and the love of that divine, all-pervading Paramatma, that supreme consciousness in which we all swim like so many fish. So everyone lives within that greater unconditioned field of energy that we call God, or we call Sat, or existence itself. Doesn't matter what you call it, it's that which is. And the spiritual life consists of our individual awakening to levels of consciousness and energy that transcend our personal levels of conditioning and limitation. Now, once we've learned how to tap into and transcend our awareness beyond our personal condition and limitations, the next stage is mastering those levels. And a master is able to consciously wield energy and shift consciousness paradigms. And if they have become God-realized, they can shift it beyond what we would call the planetary sphere. And in some cases, even on a galactic and universal and cosmic level. These are the great logoi, the great individualized lives that I've spoken about in previous shows. So another way to look at the God continuum is to realize that they're like babushka dolls. You know, they're one God nestled within another God, within another God, within another God, within another God. Not many gods. But the commutation and stepping down of the God essence, which always precipitates as an aggregate of energy that holds a constant frequency at some point within the life wave continuum. But you're always within that which is greater. You're always within God. You live and move and have your being within that which you call the all that is, or God. So it's learning also a new dialectic and how we express these higher levels, which are coming online now for more and more people. More and more people are spontaneously activating and awakening now as we move into these more refined and uplifted energies. It will be easier now for advanced souls to take embodiment on this planet and for advanced ultra-terrestrial lives from other worlds to interact with Earth. And we will have that more and more. We will have the step-ins and the walk-ins and those who can actually bend the time-space continuum and walk backward and forward through the dimensional continuums into this manifested physical realm. And the great myth of death will soon be dispelled as we are able to see that life simply moves from one dimension of manifestation into the next. That's why we're seeing now so many manifestations of the orbs and light fields and auras and masters appearing and interdimensional beings and ships and Merkabas. All of that is an evidence of the thinning of the dimensional veils that have kept the physical and the higher dimensional world just beyond the physical from interfacing. And now we're going to see more and more and more of that, which again is the proof that there's no such thing as death. There is only the shifting of dimensional perspective or consciousness and energy. But life is eternal. It is Sat. It is one with God. It is ever-expanding divine awareness. It is all-pervasive bliss. It is what you are when the nightmares and the dreams of separation and impairment, limitation, and danger have been dissolved in the truth and love that you are. There's nothing to fear. The only boogeymen, the only dark forces you will ever find are self-generated out of your own children of darkness and fear that lurk on the periphery of your radiance. And they're knocking on the door. What do they want? Your love. They want to go home to love. So openly embrace them and escort them home to love. Every fearful thought, every ravage of your mind, every guilt, every shame, every indictment and condemnation, every evil dream, own them as your own children of consciousness and bless them and escort them home to love. There is nothing to fear. Everything that you see within and without is a child of your own consciousness, just wanting your love. That's all. Just wanting your love. Everything wants to go home to love. So, do your duty and escort everything and everyone within and without home to love. When you don't know what to do, ask yourself, what would love do right now? What is the most loving action, word, thought I can express? And do that. So the spiritual life just simply consists of our individual awakening to the love that we are and to the levels of consciousness and energy that could convey those higher states of loving, those higher states of beatitude, and blessedness and grace and beauty, so that we can escort them through our lives into this earth and transform it into the heaven, into the utopia, into the new earth that part of us all yearns to move into. But only we can pick up our baggage and cart it off to, you know, the love bin, and move into our new habitation. And no one is going to deny those who come with a boarding pass of love and the energy signature of love wrapped all around them. So clothe yourself with love, and you'll be properly dressed to move in and with the new earth that is now at this time issuing forth and manifesting as an energy and state of consciousness that is welcoming us all to participate. So welcome home to love, and look for that point of ease and grace and flow with it. So I hope this has been of assistance to you. And God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. And let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. Take a deep breath. Anai Hu. Shanti and Adonai.